Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
In the middle of a crisis, no one naturally knows what to do. So should our children catch on fire? Hopefully, we've already taught them to stop, drop, and roll. Or if they come across a gun, don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. That's what we teach our children to do. But then, the second a snowflake falls, we buy out the grocery store. How long have we been buying out the grocery store now? I read an article by a Mississippian named Matthew McGee in a magazine called Okra the vegetable, not the person. He wrote that on March 15th, my adrenaline kicked in and off I went to the local grocery store with the intent of stocking up on essentials and all manner of junk food. I may have overreacted by buying a 25-pound bag of rice, which is still sitting in my pantry. I remember telling myself to calm down and quit being so dramatic. Words of wisdom from Mr. Rogers came to me. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." So that's what I did. I went to the helper aisle. The hamburger helper aisle, that is. I stood there observing all the variety boxes of hamburger helper with the wonderful childhood mascot, Lefty, the helping hand, smiling back at me. I started thinking that this shelter in place was meant to flatten the COVID-19 curve, not fatten the curves to gain 19. We all did some version of that back in March, but now it's September. For many of us, this has been one long season, one long 6 months of persistent anxiety and panic. For others, there's been illness and worry about those who are sick. Some have lost loved ones without being able to have a funeral. Then for others, there's this boiling over frustration with the disease that on the one hand causes no worse symptoms than the common cold, but on the other hand has killed nearly 200,000 Americans. My friends, we are still in the midst of a crisis that we don't know how to deal with. So, on this special Sunday, when we remember our Presbyterian roots in Scotland, celebrating tradition and heritage, let us also look back on our legacy of faith to learn from one great hero who faced a far worse crisis, that we might gain some perspective on the one we face today. Let us look to Moses, who stood among the panicked Israelites with peace of mind, even as the Egyptians were on his heels. I could almost see him. He led them out of Egypt just days before. Then, as the Egyptian horde approached, Moses stood there with his feet in the sand, for on one side was the army and on the other side was the sea. I imagine the waves were breaking against his knees while the Egyptians were breathing down his neck. And it wasn't just a few of them, it was 600 hand-picked chariots, plus all the others. As though he weren't merciless already, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He told his army to charge, determined to stop at nothing, to bring his source of free labor back to the mines or brick factories, even if he had to kill half of them in the process. This is a terrifying situation for any leader to find himself in. Only to make matters worse, the Israelite people cried out to Moses, "Why have you led us out here? To die in the wilderness? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Is that why you brought us all the way out here?" I can understand their panic. They were unarmed, untrained, and on foot. You can imagine the chariots circling on the one side, the ocean on the other. These people were penned in, behind and before, asking, "Where is there to turn? Where is there to go? What are we to do?" In response to their panic, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see. See the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Do you know how counterintuitive that kind of advice is? You know, it's like the others. It's right, but it calls us to do something contrary to ordinary human behavior. If we were all roasting marshmallows and your sleeve caught on fire, the first thing that most people would do is to run. In a panic, we might all run, which would only feed the flame. Likewise, any curious child who comes across a gun, the first thing he'll want to do is to pick it up with no idea of how powerful or how much damage that gun might do. Therefore, we all teach our children from a very young age, stop, drop, and roll. Don't touch, run away, tell a grown-up. Why then do we all have a 25-pound bag of rice in our pantry and attics full of toilet paper? It's because, like the Israelites before us, when we get afraid, we all have a voice inside our heads which says, "Don't just stand there, do something." However, "don't just stand there, do something" only clears out the grocery store shelves, and rushing to reopen only fills up the hospitals, for neither panic nor denial is going to get us out of this. So first, Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid." The Bible commands us, "Do not fear," or "do not be afraid," enough times for every day of the year. That's right, about 365 times Scripture tells us to calm our fear. Why? Because people who are afraid give up too easy. They play right into the enemy's hand because they quit before they've even tried. Think about it. Young men who fear rejection never ask the pretty girl out on a date. Little girls who are scared of spending the night away from home miss out on summer camp. The one who takes the game-winning shot can't let fear get the best of her, or the game is already over. While the one who takes a good look at the situation without allowing it to throw her into a panic will take a breath and let the ball fly. Denial makes us like sheep led to the slaughter. Fear helps us quit and allows us to be held captive. Either way, should we deny the facts or allow them to terrify us, we are right where the evil one wants us. Ignorant, foolish, then sick, or hopeless, silent, and easy to control. "Do not fear," Moses said to the people. Why? because fear would have them surrender before the real journey to freedom even began. And worse than that, fear would have put them all right into the hands of Pharaoh and blinded them to what was about to happen next. In a time like this, we can't be afraid. Do you think scared men wear kilts? No. We can't be afraid. We can't be afraid or we'll give up while the vaccine may come tomorrow. We can't be afraid because the sea may open up right before us. We can't be afraid because fear gives Pharaoh too much power. More than that, we can't be afraid because scared people run. Stand firm, Moses told the people. Don't run. Don't just do something. Don't panic. Stand firm. Did you know that lions roar in the hopes of scattering the herd so that they can gang up on the ones separated from the rest? Together, unified, the prey can defend themselves. But if fear has them separating and isolating, then it's over. So it is with us. In this moment of crisis, the partisan divide grows worse. Of course it does. In a state of panic, we long for easy answers and scapegoats rather than things like compromise and discussion, which we think takes too long. People cry out, somebody needs to do something. Well, what if it's the wrong thing? Who cares? Just do something. This is what some people say, only this is a time for standing firm and staying together, for we will not live to see what happens next if we turn on each other now. Those who seek easy answers or for someone to blame have abandoned their principles. And rather than lose ourselves as they have, let us stand firmly on who God calls us to be, defining ourselves by that high standard of love your neighbor as yourself. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see, Moses said. See what? I can hear the people ask. Who knows? I can imagine Moses saying, for it could have been anything, for God's hand will not be confined to our feeble imaginations. We only know the shape of the miracle after it's been revealed. So what Moses' example demands of us today is that we simply be open to God doing once again what God has promised he would do. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when God is silent. Can you believe in that? That's what life demands of us today. Some would call it faith, and for generations and generations, such a legacy has been passed down to us. On this Sunday, when we remember our roots in Scotland, I don't care if you're Scottish or not, regardless of your genetics, follow the example of faithful people like Moses. Take on the legacy of Scotland as though you were the granddaughter of William Wallace himself. Remember the Queen of England who feared the prayers of that great Scottish Presbyterian, John Knox, more than all the assembled armies of Europe. Know that ours is a legacy of stubborn defiance and unrelenting hope. For while England outlawed bagpipes, kilts, and our native language, they snuck in patches of their family's plaid tartans to be blessed by God, longing for his blessing more than they feared any human power who tried to hold them captive. When we hear those notes which opened our worship service, which make up that great anthem, Scotland the Brave, may your blood boil at those who have hid from us the truth, believing nothing could be done, for we are never powerless, nor are we helpless in the face of overwhelming adversity, because ours is the God who divided the sea. Ours is the mighty God who is working his purpose out even now. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.